Good afternoon. We're again here from Partick Free Church of Scotland, continuing. And we want to bring the gospel message to you this afternoon. Indeed, it's a wonderful privilege and pleasure to be able to come out in the street and to bring something of the authentic Christian gospel to you from the scriptures. And we do this because in the Bible we are commissioned to go out and to bring this word to all creatures. The Lord Jesus said to his church, he said to his disciples just before he returned to glory, he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And that's why we're here. We are here to tell you something about the Lord Jesus Christ and to ask you some questions relative to life itself. I want to ask you a question as you wait in a queue, or maybe as you're standing having your lunch, or as you're passing by. What is the purpose of life? Why are we here? What is the purpose? What are we doing here? Where did we come from? Where are we going to? It's a very profound question. I'm sure it's something that you will consider in your quieter moments. What is life all about? Well, as far as the atheist is concerned, and there are many people today who would call themselves atheists, as far as they are concerned, there's no purpose to life. They cannot give any explanation as to why life came about. They try to tell us that some billions of years ago, life began in some very primitive state, which they're not able to determine. They talk about billions of years ago, and they say that from that point, whether it was the Big Bang or something else, life developed and life evolved to where we now find life today. But as far as they are concerned, really, there's no point in life. And when you die, that's it, all over. Life is finished. To their thinking, as far as their philosophy is concerned, it is quite simply, we came from nothing and we're going to nothing. There is no hope. But is that really a credible profession to make? Because the Bible tells us something completely and utterly different. The Bible tells us, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And therefore, we have the very purpose of life right at the very beginning. God is the one who has created heaven and the earth. And God is the one who has created all the things that we can see, all the things in the physical world that we can see day by day. And God is also the one who has created all that we can see, or all that we cannot see, I should say, in the spiritual world. God is the creator of all. And therefore, there is a purpose to life, because God has created you. God has created mankind. And God has created mankind for a purpose. And our Shorter Catechism tells us that the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That is the purpose of life. We are here to enjoy God. We are here to glorify God. And we're here to enjoy Him. But friends, we will soon realize that we cannot really do this. we cannot do. We cannot meet the requirements. Why is that so? It is so because we are sinners. And the Bible tells us this. It does not flatter us. It tells us, and it says, without exception, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it says before that verse, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And therefore, because of this problem that we have with sin, we're not able to glorify God and we're not able to enjoy Him. Now, I admit that is truly bad news. And of course, it is bad news. But before that we understand the good news, we must realize the bad news. We must realize our true condition before God. We are sinners. And because God is a holy God, God cannot tolerate sin, and He will deal with it. And this is why the Lord Jesus Christ, this is why the Son of God, the eternally begotten Son of God, came to this world. He came to deal with this problem that you and I are not able to deal with. A problem that we have, and a problem that is too great for us. Indeed, the Bible would teach us that sin is the most powerful thing in the world apart from God. And therefore, it's only God who can deal with this problem. And He has done that in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said. Now, the Apostle Paul, before he was a Christian, he was a deeply religious man. He was what we call a Pharisee. And he sought to observe the law of God. And he attended all the religious services of the day. But he had no peace with God. He was not right with God. But when he was converted, and he was converted on the road to Damascus, when he saw the risen Lord Jesus Christ, he was a changed man. He became a new man. And he was one who was instrumental in bringing Christianity to all the known world of that day. And he says in one of his letters that he wrote to a young pastor, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And he goes on to say, "Of whom I am the chief." He's acknowledging that he is the chief of sinners, but that the Lord Jesus Christ has saved him. And we want to ask ourselves then, how is it possible for the Son of God to come down from heaven, take our form and our nature and become like us? And how could he possibly deal with that great problem, that unsurmountable problem that we have with our sin? Well, he dealt with it because he became our substitute. You see, as I said earlier to you, God is a holy God. And God cannot tolerate sin. And God must deal with it. And God will deal with the sinner. This is something that we don't like to be reminded about, but we must, in order then that we must grasp and delight and glory in the good news of the gospel. You see, friends, we're all sinners, every single one of us. And because God cannot sweep sin under the carpet, He must deal with it. And He either deals with it in Christ, or He deals with it in you personally. That's the reality. And the news of the gospel is that if we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, if we will receive Him as our Lord and as our Savior, our sins will be forgiven, all of them. It seems amazing. It is amazing. It is beyond our wildest dreams and our wildest expectations to think that Christ, the Son of God, would come to this world and deal with that problem. But that is the reality of it. That is it. That is the gospel. And I fear that many people today don't know the gospel. They don't know it. They know something about Christianity, but they don't know the very essence and the very heart of it. And many people are rejecting Christianity because they never really grasped it, and they don't really know what it is. But Christianity in Christ deals with our most basic and our most fundamental problem, that of sin. This is a problem that none of the politicians can deal with. This is the problem that no educational system or standard can deal with. This problem will not be dealt with by changing our environment or making people richer or making them live longer or educating them better. None of these things will change the heart of man, because that's the problem with man. It is his heart. And his heart is wrong. And his heart is sinful. The Bible says this about your heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's the Bible's verdict upon your heart. That's the Bible's verdict upon my heart this afternoon. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, God knows it. God knows our hearts. God can read our thoughts. God knows the things that we're thinking. God knows our very motives and our intentions. All of these things are known unto God. And as God looks upon our heart, this is what he says. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The heart is sinful. The very center, the very core, the very DNA of man is sinful. And this problem is so great. It's so deep. It's so profound. It's so powerful that you and I, left to ourselves, cannot deal with it. That's why the Son of God came. And that's the purpose of us being here this afternoon, to draw your attention to this person. It's a person. That's what Christianity is all about. It's about a glorious person, the Son of God who came from heaven, who became just like us, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was found in the likeness of man. Why did he go through that? He went through all of that in order that he would be able to suffer and be able to die. You see, friends, as the Son of God, he could never die. In heaven, he could never die. God cannot die. The Son of God could never die. That's why he came to this earth and became just like us, in order that he would be able to suffer and to die in our room and in our place. You see, Christ, he offered up himself as a sacrifice. That's why we say in the leaflet that we're giving out to you this afternoon, we preach Christ crucified. We preach Christ crucified. And there's a very important reason why we emphasize the fact that we preach Christ crucified. Because when Christ was crucified, he dealt with mankind's greatest problem. He dealt with sin. He dealt with it finally, completely, fully, to the satisfaction of God the Father on the cross. You would be familiar with one of the sayings of Jesus when he was on the cross. One of the sayings that he said just before he died was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He cried out in agony there as the nails were in his hands, and as the nails were in his feet, and as his flesh was being torn, and as he was suffering excruciating pain in the heat of the sun, And as the crown of thorns upon his head was causing his head to bleed, and as he became a terrible spectacle there on the cross, and as his life was about to ebb away, and as he was there, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did he feel forsaken? Why was it? He was forsaken because he became a substitute. He became sin on our behalf. And there the Father was pouring out his wrath upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, friends, the cross is a wonderful display of the love of God. It is a wonderful, tangible display of the practical love of God. Why do I say that? I say that because there, God punished his Son in the room and instead of sinners. There, God showed the full extent of his love towards fallen mankind by punishing his Son in their place. And surely that demonstrates what that verse in John chapter 3 verse 16 says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There God demonstrated for all mankind to see the fact that God has a love towards mankind when he punished his Son instead of sinners. But if you see the love of God there on the cross, you also see, friends, the wrath of God. You also see there the fact that God will not tolerate sin. You see, sin was such a problem that he was prepared to punish his Son. He was prepared to pour out his wrath upon his Son. God, in no sense, has gone easy on sin. He may well have shown his love towards mankind in the cross, but he also has demonstrated to all his abhorrence of sin and of his determination to deal with it and not to overlook it. And therefore, friends, when you consider the cross, when you consider what Jesus Christ has done, you can see the wonderful divine love of God. But you can also see the wrath of God. You can also see that he is not one who has gone easy on sin. He will deal with it to such an extent that he punished his only begotten Son, who cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We're here this afternoon from Partick Free Church of Scotland continuing, and we meet at 2 Thornwood Terrace. That's just off Dunbarton Road, opposite where the police station is. We would love to see you come along on the Lord's Day, and that is Sunday at 11 a.m. and again at 6:30 p.m. And we meet also on Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. We'd love to see you. We're here to bring the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here to bring you something of authentic biblical Christianity, because we realize today that many people are ignorant of Christ. They're ignorant of Christianity. And many people are rejecting Christianity because they simply don't know what Christianity is all about. Christianity, friends, is all about life. It's all about eternal life. It's all about having our sins forgiven. It's all about being right with God. It's all about having a wonderful hope. And this is all secured for us by the life and the death and the resurrection and, we might say, the continual, effectual intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ there as he sits at God's right hand even today. You see, friends, we preach Christ who was crucified but who now lives forever. You see, friends, when he was on the cross, they took him down. He was dead. And they put him in a tomb. And they sealed the tomb. because they didn't want his disciples to come along and steal the body and to say that he was alive again. But you know what happened? Even when the tomb was sealed, and even when there was a Roman soldier there, or maybe even two Roman soldiers there guarding the tomb, what happened? On the third day he rose. He rose on the third day. He rose on the first day of the week, our Sunday. You see, no rock, no stone could hold back the Lord Jesus. No soldiers could hold the Lord Jesus back. He's alive. And that's why we're here today, to remind you and to bring to your attention that Christianity is about a person, yes, who came to this world, who humbled himself, who suffered, and who died, but who rose again. You see, the disciples and the apostles of the early church, what did they do when they got that great commission to go forth and to preach the gospel? What did they do? They went forth and they preached Jesus and the resurrection. Jesus and the resurrection. And friends, Christianity is not about tombstones. It's not about graveyards. Christianity is about new life. Christianity is about the fact that Jesus has abolished death.